Against All Odds is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it, and you must be 21 or older.
It's late for the Ciccoli brothers. 12:20 a.m. Mikey Meatballs fiddling with the knobs. Babyface Joel Solomon producing this mess. And joining me as always, my wizards of wagering, my gurus of gambling, my barons of betting, my overlords of the odds, the degenerate trifecta, Harry, Brother Bry, Darren, the parlay kid. What's happening, fellas?
What's going on, Sal?
Hey, Sal.
What's going on, buddy?
Well, we had split results for the cities of Houston and Philadelphia tonight. The Eagles take care of the Texans 29-17. They don't cover the 14 points. It does go over the total. We'll talk about that in a second. And then right there in Philadelphia, 3-2 final. The Astros take care of the Phillies. That's moving to game six with the Astros up 3-2 in the series. Ryan Pressly, the king. Five out save. Chaz McCormick, great play in center field. We will get to that. They haven't hung a line on game six yet because it just ended game five. Sorry about that, Harry. You're just not going to beat my Astros. Yes, they're my Astros now.
Not going to happen. Boy, after Phillies unloaded in game three, two straight games, yep. Not a lot of runs, not a lot of hits, not a lot of clutch hits either.
That is something. I mean, Barlicky, we talked about this. Everybody who steps up is 1-for-14 or batting 208 in the series and everything, and the pitching has been king. So five home runs in game three, no hits in game four, and I didn't see the final tally, but it wasn't pretty today. No timely hits for sure, as Harry points out, for the Phillies.
No, it wasn't. A little hard luck late. Great catch by McCormick. Schwarber rips a ball. Mancini happened to be about a foot off the base of first base when he was holding the runner on. Sometimes those guys get a little bit further off. He really was about literally a foot off. He rips a ball. So a little bad luck for the Phillies there. But, they haven't made their own luck either, Sal. So,
Top
six,
of that lineup, 1-for-14.
Schwarber,
Hoskins,
here's the thing: is you did have 12 base runners tonight, though. So you had six hits and six walks. You got to do better than two runs, and they didn't get it done. That's it.
Yeah, that's right. Meanwhile, Astros, Altuve's back. Forget about anything. Everybody delighted in the fact that he was slumping in the postseason. 2-for-4 is now batting .318 in the postseason. Pena. With the home run, 3-for-4. He's batting .381 there. Yeah, he's been good.
He's probably the MVP right now.
Yeah, well, we're going to check. I haven't seen the odds on it yet, but we're going to check that later in the hour, so we'll be able to make a pick. Go ahead, Brian.
No, I was just going to say it was like the eighth inning, and I think after the eighth, I think going into the ninth inning, I thought I saw the Astros were minus .500 for the series.
For the series, so to close it out in six or seven, they have two at home now.
Yeah, yeah, and the Phillies were plus .400. That sounds.
You touching that, Harry?
Well, what do we got? We got probably Wheeler going in game six, right? I don't know. I know. Sal, you were on the Astros. The other three of us were on the Phillies.
Yeah, I got a minus one. They needed to take this one in six there. Yeah, I agreed. And what my reasoning wasn't sound. You know, I thought Syndergaard was going to blow it. He didn't pitch great, but like you said, Parlay Kid, you got to hit. You got to score three runs in these games at home, especially. Verlander did well. It looked like he was about to get shelled. It looked like he was going to give up five runs before they yanked him. I mean, he was getting hit hard. Even Schwarber hits the home run, just belts it out of the park, and then just getting hit like line drives to left field that you thought were good. But he really put it together and gave them a good enough outing to stay in there. And then there's guys like Abreu, just lights out. You can't get a hit. I think he hit somebody, but you can't hit him. So it's insane with this. All right, so we'll pick that up later in the hour. Let's go over Houston, Philly, the football game, 29-17. I called 26-17 as a final. I can't get too excited because that means I screwed up the over-under. Parlay Kid was the only one of us to hit that over. Philadelphia, they just went through the motions there. They look good. Hurts 21-for-27, 243, and just ran for 23, which is not a great game for him. Harry, two touchdowns, bolsters his point for, you know, MVP a little bit. Davis Mills wasn't bad, 13 for 22, 154. But tied at half, solid win, 8-0. Yeah. Now they get 10 days off, Harry.
Yeah, and like Brian had a nice one with Sanders over rushing yards. Figured they'd pound him in this type of game. They didn't really have to pass too much. And now the Eagles, 8-0 for the first time in Philadelphia history, 8-0.
Crazy. Yeah, had some great teams back in the day, but 8-0 is 8-0. Yeah, Parley Kid, you had Sanders over, right? What was it, 79?
No, Brian had that.
Oh, Brian had 79. Yeah, Brian had Sanders over. I had Pierce over. 60-some. He had 139. That was nice. Now, listen, the first touchdown. Oh, probably, kid, you had Hurts over 1.5 touchdown passes. Yep. That was a – and you had the team, and you had the over, which is good. What was not good, Teagan Quitoriano. I don't even know how you say it. Quitoriano. It's insane. That was the first touchdown scorer, and I feel like – I don't know. We've done this what? We do this two night games a week. And this is about, you know, through starting. So we've done like 16, 17 times. I feel like six or seven players are guys who 0% on fantasy rosters throughout the country.
Sal, you mentioned when it happened, like this was the worst one of the year so far.
Hilarious.
No, yeah. I mean, our buddy TJ Houshmandzadeh doesn't even know who that guy is that he went to Oregon State.
Yeah, I know. And I guess we sat in the box and watched him lose. He didn't score against Utah State last year, but. Yeah, so that's that. So that, you know, worst touchdown. We should call it worst touchdown, not first touchdown, because we're not even close. So the Eagles, Eagles are now 8-0. They and we think they could actually. Whoa! Wow, that's great.
He shut off his video instead of his.
I'm getting a lot of positive feedback on the positive testing Harry with the coughing and everything. My goodness. So they have the Commanders at the Colts. Home for the Packers in a night game Sunday night, and home for the Titans. They really could get into early mid-December 12-0. I don't know, Bry. I don't like it. Probably Kid and I are like resigned to the 4 seed as Cowboys.
These schedules are pretty weak. It's weird to say though they haven't even finished half of the season though yet. Right.
Yeah, right.
Nine games. That seems like. I mean, we're already in November. It's crazy to think they have nine left, games left.
And yet, it's going too fast. All right, let's go through this NFL slate. We picked what, like seven of the games. Not great games. There's only two late afternoon games. One of them is Rams Tampa. So, Harry, this is the CBS game. So, I think they take one game and they give it to the opposite conference network. So, CBS usually carries AFC games, but this year. They isolated this Rams-Tampa Bay game, and that means they clear out the whole rest of the schedule. The only other one that competes is Arizona and Seattle, I believe, in that late afternoon slot. But who needs it? I don't even know how to pick this one. Tampa minus 342.5. What were you going to say?
I don't either, but I mean, it made sense, you know, obviously, you know, before the season when they made the schedule to have clear this one out for the repeat of the NFC Championship game. Boy, stinker, really, kind of.
They really could add the Patriots Colts or something to give us another late afternoon game as bad as this is. Romo and Nance are going to take this. Yeah. I don't trust either team. One's 28th in scoring. One's 24th. Yeah. Right. I mean, Harry, you said the Fresno State running back there for the Rams. I don't even know some of these guys, how they're moving the ball. And I also don't think it's a must win for either team. One's looking up at the Falcons. One's chasing the Seahawks, so I guess it's just stay healthy and one of them wins. I'm going Rams, though. Tampa defense allowed over 164 rushing yards a game over the last 5 weeks. I see Van Jefferson getting some more reps. He played, didn't get involved in the offense at all, really, last week. I think that's going to be one of the differences, and the trends favor the Rams and McVay. When McVay's team travels, you'll like this, Harry, from PT to ET, 10-1 straight up and 9-2 against the spread. Parley Kid, you're going against me. You're going Tampa. You're laying the points. I just don't think they're adult enough to give points anymore.
Yeah, I think the same could be said for the Rams, really. I think these teams are very similar in what is ailing them. Anytime the Rams have played anybody good this year, you know, all four of their losses have been in double digits. I mean, they haven't been close in their losses. San Francisco wore them down, beat them up, especially in the second half. last week. Tampa Bay is getting some reinforcements back on defense. Look, this is a tough game to call because, you know, we have two teams that we, you know, probably all thought were going to win their divisions this year, that they still can win their divisions. They're both still in it, even with losing records at this point.
Yeah.
But I'll take the home team here. I just think maybe there's a little bit more desperation in Brady's game. I'm not sure if the Rams can protect Stafford at all. And I think when it comes to the running game, the Rams simply cannot run the ball. They have a cast of characters back there, and none of them are any good. I'm not saying the Bucs running game is much better. I think it's a little bit better. So I'll take the -3 here for Tampa. This is a tough game to pick, but I'll go with the home team here. I think, and just again, a little bit more desperate with the Bucs here.
All right. Yeah, I think 21-19 right in there. I don't know, somewhere, I guess, around the over under 42.5, but that's where I'll take it. And I'll take the 3 because 3 seems like just a boatload of points right there. Rams also 6-0 against the spread in the last 6 versus or at Tampa Bay. Miami -4.5, 45.5 at Chicago. Boy, everybody's putting these Dolphins in the Super Bowl. I know every trade seems to be going their way. Bradley Chubb, Tyreek Hill. They get whatever running back that they want from San Francisco, but let's pump the brakes a little bit. They beat the Steelers by 6. They beat the Lions by 4. And now up against the Bears, who moved the ball on offense. Defense, a different story. I get it. And, you know, I kind of think like Roquan Smith leaving, maybe the team rallies. We saw this with the Panthers after CMC departed, right? They stepped up. I kind of think that's what it's going to be. Fields has been impressive. The running game keeps him in this. Herbert, Fields, and Montgomery, over 1,300 yards rushing already combined. Eberflus over McDaniel, 24-19. Harry, that number's no good for you. You like the over.
Yeah, it's how you said Miami has benefited from the trades. How about not having to go up against Roquan Smith, who leads the NFL in tackles? That's going to be a bonus for them. You mentioned Fields. He's been much better in the last 2 weeks versus the Pats and the Cowboys. 5 total touchdowns, 3 passing, 2 rushing, almost 150 yards rushing. And those rushing yards keep these drives alive for the Bears, and they put up a nice 29 spot last week against Dallas. On the Miami side, Tua is 5-0 as a starter, 382 yards passing last week. Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, best 1-2 punch at wide receiver in the NFL. They've got 1,700 yards combined already, 7 touchdowns. Edmonds traded to Denver gives Miami even less of a running game than they already had. That means more passing yards for Tua, moving down the ball down the field. I like over 45.5.
All right. They've struggled to score a little, the Dolphins, right? As much as the yards are there, I just don't feel like they score a lot.
Their offense looked really good against, it was Detroit, but they were up and down the field all game.
Yeah, 31-16 against the Steelers, 16 against the Vikings, 17 against the Jets. All right, now we're moving into where they weren't. 15 against the Bengals. Yeah. All right. I like the points here.
I remember a couple of those games without Tua, too. So.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. All right. So we'll go Minnesota, Washington, Harry's team, the Vikings, on a roll. I bet them to win the division. I made a division parlay. I had to do it. At Washington, 3 is the spread, 43.5. Is the over-under. I'm going commies here. I'm going commies. You know, Cousins, Harry, as much as you love him, he is the least profitable quarterback against the spread in the NFL. 26-36-1 after a win. And just overall, the least profitable. I like this Washington team. I think they got off to a little bit of a slow start, so it's going to be hard for them to compete with the Cowboys and the Eagles and even the Giants. But McLaurin's close to 200 yards in the last 2 games. Antonio Gibson's now, they have him in as kick returner. He's the all-around threat, 270-plus all-purpose yards in the last 2 games. And Heinicke, 8-2 against the spread in his last 10 starts. Minnesota just 2-5 versus spread, last 7 away. I'm going commies over the Vikes, 29-23. Bri, you're with me.
Yeah, I'm going Washington as well. Both the Vikings and Commanders have played really close games, right? The Vikings continue to win one possession games. I think that's 5 straight one possession games they've won. The Commanders have won and covered 3 straight. And the last four games with them decided by 5 points or less. And the thing is, look, I really like Heinicke. I mean, he's a great backup. I prefer him over Wentz here. And like you were saying, even with that number 8-2 against the spread, he always, you know, he always seems to make a few big plays when they need him. Even if he's playing poorly, you know, he comes back late in games to make a couple of plays. And this Washington defense has played, they've played very well recently. So I think they can get enough pressure on Cousins to limit the Vikings offense. I do think this game is going to be, I think this game is going to be decided by a field goal. So give me Washington. Washington.
The one thing I want to see is they've beaten kind of junky teams, right? Well, no, I guess we have to include the Packers as a jerk.
Yeah,
but yeah, Bears. Yeah, actually, I don't know who's bad. There's no one that's bad.
There's
anymore,
a lot of junky teams.
Yeah, Jaguars, yeah. Colts, Packers. Yeah, Bears. So those are their. They had lost 4 in a row, so they're 1-4. I'm interested to see. I don't know why I don't get mad, Parlay Kid, when they win, because I don't think they can catch us. But maybe I should start getting annoyed.
I know exactly.
Can we get odds sooner, later than maybe like of all four teams in the NFC East make the playoffs?
Interesting. Yeah, I don't think it could happen. I don't know. I just don't.
I mean, it could.
I guess it could. You don't have to worry about the South.
It could, because I don't think any of them have really tough schedules the rest of the way. I don't think they. I think all the schedules. Dallas's schedule and the Giants' schedule is pretty weak the rest of the way. I'm assuming Washington's is the same thing.
If Seattle fades and you give the division to and the Rams don't get it together and San Fran
wins the division. That's a division you got to worry about. But the Giants beating Seattle would have helped something like that. But yeah you're right. It could happen. Chargers 3, 49.5 at Atlanta. This is one of the rare instances I'm going to take the Chargers. Coming off a bye, I just think some of these. I'm not getting excited about this Atlanta team. They're 25th best offense, 31st best defense. You know, this is all a clown show here, what's going on. Chargers 3-0 against the spread on the road. On the road, which is like all their games on the road. Yeah. Somehow, Keenan Allen's hamstring got worse over the hiatus here, over the break. They don't really get Bosa's in the building, I'm hearing, but I don't know if he's playing. But either way, I think this is a big Herbert breakout game, and he beats up on this Falcons, much like who went in there a couple weeks ago and beat him? Was it who beat him badly, the Falcons? Anyway, 28-16. I'm going to say Chargers take this one. Parlay Kid, you're with me?
I'm with you on this, Sal. Chargers coming off a bye week. I think they got some guys healthy on the defensive side, some guys coming back, but they are banged up. That being said, again, coming off the bye week, playing a Falcons team coming off kind of like, I'm not going to say it was a miracle win, but a team that was very fortunate to beat a Panthers team who had really no trouble moving the ball against this Falcons defense. The defense has been pretty atrocious. So I do think Herbert's going to be able to carve this defense up. Kind of an interesting matchup. You have the one of the most run-heavy offenses in the Falcons against one of the most pass-heavy teams in the Chargers. I think the pass-heavy team wins out here as the Falcons kind of do the Chargers a favor here by trying to run the ball, even though that's kind of the Chargers' weakness in a lot of cases too. But we'll just say coming off the bye week, Chargers cover in what could be a semi-interesting game.
Well, we saw the Panthers come back, right, against the Falcons. So I don't know what the score would have to be for Herbert and the Chargers to be out of it here, right? So I think it just leaves a bad taste in our mouth, the DJ Moore play and everything and the touchdown he ripped off his helmet and the stupid kicker missing everything after that. But I don't think they're that solid, even though somehow they're 3-1 at home, this Falcons team. All right, listen, wherever you do this, Falcons, Chargers, whatever you're going to do, Washington plus there's teasers out there. I have a feeling Parlay Kid's going to lay one on us at the end, but do it all on Caesars. Go to Caesars Sportsbook right now. Your first bet with Caesars Sportsbook and Casino, it's on Caesars up to $1,250. Download the app with promo code CZRFULL and place your first bet. If you win, congrats. If you don't, you'll get it all back as a free bet. That first bet also gives you 1,000 tier credits and 1,000 reward credits, putting you closer to the types of perks only Caesars can offer. Free stays, game tickets, experiences, and more.
You must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Michigan, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, Ontario, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, and Washington, D.C. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Ohio, and Utah, and other states where prohibited. Yes, you have to know when to stop before you start. If you have a gambling problem in Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Virginia, West Virginia, or Pennsylvania, or if you know someone who has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER, or in Maryland, visit MarylandGamblingMDGamblingHelp.org, or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net, Arizona. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP, Colorado, D.C., Nevada, Wyoming, Kansas. Call 1-800-522-4700, Indiana. Call 1-800-9-WITH-IT, Iowa. Call 1-800-BETS-OFF, Louisiana. Call 1-877-770-STOP, Michigan. Call 1-800-270-7117, New York. Call 877-8-HOPENY or text HOPENY. That's 467-369. Or text CONNEX to 247-247, Tennessee. Call or text Tennessee Redline, 1-800-889-9789.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, coming back, you know, I put this game up here just for Brother Bri. So there's other games. We could have done Green Bay, Detroit, but I want to do Vegas at Jacksonville. The Raiders are favored on the road again, 1.5 and 48. Brother Bri, your team, I don't know. Listen, did you even see that parlay kid drop Darren Waller in our fantasy league?
I did. I mean, who cares?
Okay. Why should I think it was a bad move?
What a bum.
It's something else what happened with this team. I think it's a get right game for Derek Carr. I know he barely passed for 100 yards last week, and this week he's got a suspect secondary in Jacksonville. Shaquille Griffin was the only one back there with a respectable coverage grade. He's on the IR. Jags allowed 270 plus in the last three game average. I don't know what to say about last week. Jacobs had only one carry in the second half because they were behind and they couldn't. I think it's just one of those games. They couldn't get going at all. Adams played with the flu, Devontae Adams, last week. I would bet all the Raiders offensive props over, Brian. Right. I know you've heard me say this before. Jags 3-13 against the spread in the last 16. I think they stink worse than the Raiders. I believe it in my bones, 28-17. Let's hear your thoughts first, Brian.
Well, I'm glad I'm not taking this game because I continue to get every Raiders game wrong. This season, I think I was better with them last season. I mean, I should just go against them. But I hate the Raiders as a small favorite. It's just terrible. Going on the road as a small favorite. I'm worried about this game. Although I'm not really worried about this game. I don't care. I want them to lose at this point in time. The season's pretty much over unless they go on a string of they'd have to win four or five games. But they were saying last week, supposedly what came out was like Carr was battling an injury, I think, with his back or something like that. Which he said he throwing off his mechanics or something. So, I mean, that's possible because I don't know. This is going to be the game. I have a feeling this is going to be a game where people are like, wow, Trevor Lawrence looked really, really good today.
I don't know about that.
I get the sense. I mean, we made Bills look really good until late in that game against the Texans. You know, Dalton was doing whatever he wanted. So I don't know. I'm not I don't feel great about this
How
game.
Could you be down on this team, Bri? No, I get it. I get it. Probably can't lift them back up again. Tell them why the Raiders are going to win.
I'm with you on what you're saying here is it's almost inconceivable for the Raiders offense to be that bad 2 weeks in a row. It just doesn't make sense, especially against the Jaguars team. That, like, let's face it, they stink. I'm sorry. They're like so many other teams in the NFL right now that just aren't very good, even though their running game has been good as of late. I would, like you said, Adams, one catch for 3 yards last week, over 6.5 catches, over 75.5 yards, good props to take for one of the top receivers in the NFL to bounce back in a very, very large way this week. Raiders go up early and then feed Jacobs the ball and pound away with him. They win this game, Sal, straight up here. I'm going to probably come back with them in a little bit, too.
All right. On a tease. Oh, maybe you took my advice.
I like it. I Raiders are a team. Again, they could burn me here, and I could say, what the heck was I thinking? But
well, that's what I had last week. I think plus 7.5, plus 10.5, and Carr, all that. It was terrible.
I get that. And I know Carr, I understand he might not be a top 5 quarterback. It's not even maybe possibly top 10 quarterback, but he's a prideful guy.
Keep going.
Let's face it, the guy throws for like 4,300 yards every year, pretty much, it seems like. He's going to bounce back. He's going to throw for about 350. In this game, Sal.
I like this game for him. I don't know. I don't even care that it's back. He's crippled. What'd you say, Bri? I think he's going to be fine.
I don't buy it.
I don't think it was that serious. They were just saying his mechanics were off because he was bound some minor injury.
Carr over 1.5 touchdown passes, too. So minus 109. Right. Jump on that.
I like it
too.
All. Bri, listen to this. I think I got this from the Action Network. Since 2020, teams that lose by 20 or more points the week before are 66-48 against the spread their next game, and 51-30 when listed as an underdog. All right, well, they're not an underdog, but maybe they'll get
God,
there.
God, I hope that's the case, right, though? It's very rare you get blown out twice.
The Bears lost by 22, right? So that's another one. They are an underdog.
I mean, I do think that I think their offense will bounce back a little bit. I don't know. Defensively, I think they're like ATN, I think, is going to carve them up. I would look at his stats in this game.
But Babyface, what do you have to add? You have math. You came with math. What's going on?
Well, I was wanted to give Bri a glimmer of hope, and the Raiders' playoff chances do double if they win this game. From 12 to 14% to 22 to 24%. So that's still good.
All right, it's almost double.
22.
Yeah,
22% if we're 3-5.
I was talking to Bri today, though. He said that Derek Carr, he wishes that was the car in his life that got repossessed.
Oh, really? Oh, interesting. Yeah. It's funny when Bri said when Carr's mechanics are off, I got confused for a second. Yeah, I was like, what? Carr's mechanics? Oh, okay. Oh, I see what he's saying now. All right. Seattle at Arizona. The Cardinals. Well, this is a screwy spread, but I'm going with it. Arizona, 2-point favorite, 49.5. These two teams played already. I think it was week 6. Seattle won 19-9. But this is a different team. Not in that they still lose all the time, it seems, Arizona. But Hopkins makes a huge difference. It really does in that offense. 22 for 262 last two games. And in that first game, they had trouble covering Ertz. He was 7 for 70 on 10 targets. So he might be able to have a nice little passing day. Talk about Kyler Murray coming back. He did nicely against the Vikings, too. A lot of it was a garbage time. You get Robbie Anderson after a full week of practice. This team's 12-6-1 against the spread versus teams averaging 26 or more points. Somehow Seattle is in that category. Geno Smith, brother Bri, fun story. He's going to have comeback player of the year locked up in 3 weeks after Saquon gets injured. But would you be surprised to see him throw two bad picks on Sunday?
No, I wouldn't be surprised, but he's been super accurate, right? I mean, he's completing still 70. What is he? He's still
71, I guess. Kenny Mayne corrected us. I said 70. He said 71 this morning.
Look, I mean, I don't know. I would be a little worried about this pick, Sal, if I were you taking Arizona. I still have no faith in this team finishing off a game, especially at home. You know, last time I went against them too. Last time they were home, they had lost 8 straight at home. So now they are 1-8 over the last 9 at home. You know, again, you said they just lost 3 weeks ago, 19-9. Carroll, though, has had a ton of success at Arizona in the past. He always, I mean, they maybe lost one of their last. I couldn't even go back that far to see how many he's lost there. I just like the way they're playing right now. Good run game. Geno's been good. Defensively been very good. You know, winning turnover battles. So I'm going to say give me the Seahawks. I would like the Seahawks, too. I mean, getting 2 here, I'm not going to do it for my best bet, but I would like the Seahawks on like a teaser getting 9 in this game.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah.
Interesting. It is weird. Yeah. Now that you mentioned it, some of these teams are not playing well at home when they usually do. Arizona's 1-3. Rams are 2-3. Bucks, we know, are 1-3. Who in the AFC? Patriots are 1-2. Should even that up this week. But yeah. Somehow the Packers are 2-2. I did see something of pro Seattle cornerbacks Tariq Woolen and Kobe Bryant have forced a combined 8 turnovers. That's astounding for this team. So, all right. I say 34-24, just the same. Ooh. Cardinals. Tennessee at Kansas City. I'm all over the place with this game, Harry. I'm going to take Tennessee 27-19. Well, not that they'll win. I think they're going to lose 27-19, but 12.5. Much like we saw today, is a big number. And, you know, you don't see a decent team get this many points usually, right? Still a division winner. I get it. It's the AFC South. But, you know, I kind of zigzag. I know you think this way too, Harry. When a team gets blown out in prime time, if they're decent, and that's what happened with them against the Bills, not probably going to happen again or not likely. Also not likely anybody beating this Chiefs team. The Reed, Andy Reid at home, off a bye, 17-2 and 12-7 against the spread. They're going to have to score a little more. The offense on a whole is averaging 303 yards. Most of it's Derrick Henry and 19 points. They'll be better. They're 8-3 against the spread in the last 11 as an underdog. I'm going to take Tennessee to keep it close, but Tannehill was a non-participant again. Like if that Malik Willis is in, I'm off this quickly, but 27-19 for now, Harry. What do you have?
I'm going to take the Titans, too. I think this is still, last time I saw it, still Tannehill was probably going to go. I think it's a disrespect number here at 12.5 to Vrabel, to King Henry, to the Titans in general. After 2 losses to start the season, they've won 5 in a row. When's ever an NFL team won 5 in a row and they're getting double digits? I don't know if that's ever happened. Their defense has been fantastic. They slow the game down. They've allowed just 17 points or less in 4 straight games. Henry is a machine, as we know. Kansas City, 23rd in points allowed, 26 in yards allowed. And the Titans are 2-0 straight up in their last 2 against Kansas City. And in their last 6, 5-1. Titans straight up against the Chiefs.
Yep. And Chiefs have not covered the spread 4 straight home games and just 10-15 at home against the number since 2020. All right. I'm tentatively. Like, look, I have a lot on Kansas City money line, but
let's all take Tennessee.
Yeah, you think?
I like them.
All right.
No snoozer on Sunday night. No snoozer. Tennessee shows up.
I thought I saw today, after that game today, what did it say? Favorites were. Anybody 7 or more, they're 10-18 against the spread or something.
I think even 3.5 or more was a stupid number too. You know, all the favorites are going down, the bigger ones or medium size. All right. Hey, here's a big favorite. The Georgia Bulldogs, 8 points, 67 is the over under. That went up against the Tennessee Volunteers. The number 1 ranked Tennessee Volunteers are an 8-point underdog. I know Harry has something to say about this, and I'm pretty sure I know what it is, but he wants to save it. Didn't want to review the game right now. He wants to wait till Shark Tank because it's his, what is it, Harry? Your college play of the year?
College play of the year, yes.
All right. I have a feeling I'm going against it, but I do think that Kirby Smart and this Georgia Bulldog team has a chip on their shoulder. And I think the public sees this team play and thinks they like kind of sleepwalk through games, you know, parlay kid. And then they'll end up winning by 15 or 20. Like, we forgot how impressive that win against Oregon was, that 49-3.
Right.
They could do that to good teams. And Tennessee's very solid. Hendon Hooker, great. Big receivers that get separation, all that stuff. But they're also a nervous, undisciplined team. They're ranked 124 out of 131 in terms of penalty yards surrendered.
Wow.
And they're going to go in there. That place is going to be insane. I don't even know if they're up for the task anyway. And then they got that working against them. Bennett, who's called Stetson Bennett? Bri, you said he maybe makes a push for the Heisman?
I did it. When we went over like the second go around on the Heisman, I think at that point in time, he was like, I thought he was like 20 to one or something, but he's still, I don't think he's
got a shot now. Zero shot.
He would have to have like 400, a crazy, absolutely crazy game. This game and then absolutely crazy against Bama. Like
it helps that he's going against the 127th ranked pass defense in the whole country.
Interesting.
The Ball State quarterback threw for like close to 300.
Yeah. Well, when you're up 40, what's it that of course you're going to pass.
All right. Well,
Stetson Bennett has nine touchdowns this year.
They're doing all right on the run game, too. 35-23 is my pick. Harry's really taking Tennessee. See how angry he got? Bri, you like the over. You don't like my score, 35-23. Go ahead.
Look, I'm going over 67 here. I know that's a high line. I don't think I could pick this game for my life right now between the two of them. I would lean Tennessee getting the 8, but I do like the over. Georgia's going to score on Tennessee, even though Tennessee's defense has played well recently. But Georgia has scored. I know you can't say this except for last year against Heupel, but Georgia scored 38 or more in 5 straight against Tennessee. And it just seems like the way Tennessee's offense is going, I feel like Tennessee's going to get into the upper 20s, at least, if not into the, you know, well into the 30s. You know, Heupel has that fast-paced offense is tough to deal with, especially early in games. I mean, you score 44 against Kentucky, 52 against Bama, and 40 against LSU. So I do think they're going to put up points regardless of, you know, and Georgia's defense, for as good as it's been this year, it's still been very, very good. You know, maybe the best still, but still not close to what they were last year. So I think there's a lot of points in this game. So give me the over 67.
All right. It's going to be a fun one. That's a 3:30 Eastern game?
3:30.
I think it is. Okay.
Would you like the 3:30 or do you like?
Well, I like it this week because my kid has first two games of the tournament at 8 and 10 in the morning. So I should be around for 12:30. You don't like it? It's right in the middle for you guys, right?
Oh, yeah. I would prefer this game to be a night game this week, even though I like in general, I love those college football like day games and it's probably better atmosphere. But I personally would prefer a night game this week.
And so this one is a night game, right? Clemson, Notre Dame, in South Bend. Clemson 3.5 is the favorite by 3.5. 44 is the over-under. I was trying to figure this out here. Yes, for Clemson to make the playoffs, the yes is minus 170, right? So hear me out. I would think if you like Notre Dame here to win, just bet the plus 140 on Clemson to not make the playoffs, right? And then because I don't think a one-loss Clemson gets in over a one-loss Michigan, Ohio State, whoever loses that, or a one-loss Tennessee or Alabama. I don't know. I was just playing with the numbers there. But anyway.
I agree with that.
Both just played Syracuse. They gouged them on the ground, 293 for Clemson, 246 for Notre Dame against the Orange. The Irish have been awful in the red zone. I couldn't believe it. It's 20 touchdowns in as many trips. Is that true? Is that possible? 20 touchdowns in as many trips. It's basically which DJ Uiagalelei do we see? 29 of 44 for 439 and 2 touchdowns 2 years ago. Remember he filled in for Trevor Lawrence? Everyone's like, oh, my God, this guy's great. He's not great. He's good enough, though, I think. That three-headed monster rushing attack's not going to work so well versus Clemson, who allows 87 a game. I see Pine making a couple costly mistakes. 28-18. Harry, you don't like that. I'm going over the total a little bit. You go under.
I'm going to go under. 6 of Clemson's 8 games, they've held their opponents to 21 points or less. The Irish do have a decent defense. They got 24 sacks on the season. I remember in the season opener, they did hold Ohio State to just 21 points in Columbus. You mentioned Drew Pine, Sal. He's completing just 61% of his passes. He's gone under 210 passing yards in 3 straight games. Notre Dame's going to rely on the rushing attack to extend drives and keep Clemson's offense off the field. Irish have to slow this game down and not let the Tigers get quick strikes. I see this game being like a 23-17 Tigers win, and it goes under.
All right. Yeah, Irish 1-5 against the spread in the last six home games. Where is Spaghetti? He should be on here defending his team. He gets some. He knows not to come on. He knows I'm going to take Clemson here. That's it. All right. Let's take another quick break, and then we will talk about World Series Game 6. Some numbers are up here.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, so game six, Saturday night. This will be good. It'll be Notre Dame. It'll be Clemson, and it'll be Philadelphia. Phillies and the Houston Astros. Framber Valdez is on the hill at home for the Astros, who are -145 favorite. Zach Wheeler, some talk that maybe he should have pitched in game five. But anyway, pitches, keeps them alive, whatever. It's game seven right in there, +122 for Philly. The over-under is seven. I'm going to take the Astros here, -145. I just think they've gotten all the momentum away from Philadelphia. They learned how to beat them in Philadelphia, and they are getting, as you said, the timelier hits, Parlay Kid. Valdez has been good enough. I know he's had some hiccups there, but I think he gets them to the promised land. They win the World Series, as I said, -1.5 games, so they'll win 4-2. Harry, which way are you going? Game six?
I kind of like the under seven there. Two great pitchers. Valdez gets a lot of strikeouts. Wheeler's had a little couple extra days off for rest. Like you said, a lot of people wanted him to go on game five here, but now he's going to go game six. So I'm going to go under with seven, two good pitchers.
All right. Parlay Kid, you got to stick with the Phillies.
Yep. I like them. You know, maybe it's wishful thinking, but I'd like to see a game seven here in this World Series as well. I know that's not good for you, Sal, because you have it -1.5 here in the series, right? So Wheeler at +122. Why not? The Phillies bats have to turn it up a little bit. People could be upset that Wheeler didn't pitch today, but what was he going to have to do? Throw a shutout for them to win the game? I mean,
yeah, I guess.
But crying out loud, they scored two runs, three runs. They gave up three runs. Should have been good enough. So people can't really be upset about that. Wheeler at +122. And we see a game seven, Sal.
All right, Brian, we're going to watch game seven. We're going to be watching Tennessee, KC, and a game seven.
I don't know here. I don't know what to do with this game. I think I like the under. I think I like the under seven. I have a little bit of concerns with Wheeler. You know, they were complaining about like his arm strength. That's why they gave him the extra day. So having the extra day, I don't know if that necessarily benefits, right? I could see him, you know, giving up a run or two early in that game. But I would still lean under it. This Astros, I'm worried about this game because I have the Phillies getting one and a half games for the series. So I'm going to stick with the under here because, I don't know. Houston does have all the momentum right now.
Valdez... He went 6 1/3, gave up a run on four hits, and he's I think fourth in the MVP.
I was gonna say, right? He's 10-1. If he pitches six or seven shutouts, gets two wins in the series. Although Pena has eight hits in the series,
right? So Pena's favored at +120. Yeah, eight's a lot in five games,
yeah. And he's fantastic in the field. Yeah. I mean, really great,
sure-handed. So. Bregman +500. That's Piacenti and I split that ticket. I think, what do we get him at? 10-1 or more? I forgot what we got him at.
He's not getting it.
More?
He's not getting it. Rip that ticket up, Sal.
Come on. I don't want to get greedy. Yeah. I'm not going to get too greedy.
Even though Pena won the ALCS MVP too as a rookie, this is ridiculous.
Right.
He was 16-1 too coming into the series.
Mm-hmm. Oh, was he? Okay.
Yeah.
And then Bryce Harper's 9-1. If Phillies do, they're going to have to win two games here. Christian Javier, 16-1. So there's no way. The only way he gets it, leapfrogs these guys, if he puts in like three or four innings game seven, right?
Yeah, I mean, like no hit innings. Yeah. And no hit innings.
But why does that guy have to throw the 11 innings of no hit ball? I don't know. Yeah, but that's, I don't know. I might take some of these pitchers. There might be something to that. But eight hits is tough to overcome. Did I get everybody's picks? Harry, I did, right?
Yep.
Game six?
Harry and I have the under.
All right. So listen, let's do this. Sharp Tank. All right, Harry wants to go last. Let's take Brother Bri, you go first. Your Sharp Tank pick. You each of you three give me your pick, and I jump on one of them.
Well, I told you last week, I mean, I had like one of the worst Sharp Tanks we've ever given out when I had like, you know, Oklahoma State getting 1.5 and they lost by 48-0. Doesn't get much worse than that. But I'm going to steal Parlay Kid's magic here. I know he's not taking this, but I did see a Justin Fields. They have some player props out. So I'm going to go over Justin Fields over 49.5 yards rushing. Like I said, I know Darren loves this, but in the last three games, he said 60, 82, and 88 yards rushing. I gave this out as like my favorite prop before the season for him going over the total, which was, I think, it was right around 500. Was it 499? So he's very close. He's very close to breaking this already. And while he's been running a lot, it definitely seems like he's been more effective running the ball. He looks super fast. It's like defensive guys can't even catch him when he's running the ball.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the Bears offenses look good, you know, the last 2 weeks. So I think it's going to be the same type of approach here. So I'm going to say he goes over the 49.5 again.
All right, Parlay Kid, you can't use the Eagles on that three-team money line parlay with the Bills and the Chiefs. So who's replacing the Eagles?
Yeah, well, hopefully people jumped on the Eagles, Chiefs, and Bills parlay. I'm just debating here, Sal, about a three-teamer. I mean, I
Cowboys, do like- actually. Yeah, Cowboys last week, right? Eagles, Cowboys.
Yeah, last week. Yeah, right. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was talking about this week. If you had the Eagles tonight,
yeah,
Eagles.
Oh, I see. Gotcha.
Bills, Chiefs.
Chiefs
was the easy way to go, but since that game is already by the board, I got to find another team. So obviously, I like the Bills to win here, and this is what I'm going to do, Sal, because I gave the Raiders to win this game outright.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to add them to this. So I'm not going to tease it. I'm taking the Bills outright win, the Chiefs to win. That's all I think you feel very confident in those two. And then the Raiders to win the game, those three teams plus 140.
Brian's shaking his head as if you're about to marry some abusive woman whose parents are also fight each other. I mean, and there's weapons every night. And what are you doing, brother?
I could sit here and take the tease and have the Bills they'd be minus 1.5 or 2 points. Mm-hmm. And same with the Chiefs would be minus 2.5 or whatever they are. And I'd be getting 8.5 for the Raiders, but I feel like the Raiders are winning this game. So let's just go straight up parlay. Chiefs, Bills, Raiders.
All right.
Plus 140, Sal.
Mm-hmm.
I'll swear off the Raiders if they lose this game.
Brian's so happy to hear that.
I think the two of you have taken the Raiders every week, probably.
Yeah, I know. That's
not the one who picked them to win the division. I mean, I had them, I was tempted to go with Cincinnati, maybe even two, but the Panthers.
That's another one.
Panthers defense can worry me a little bit. They sometimes show up and play really hard. So I don't know. It could be
all right. So. The moment of truth. Harry has teased us and said he is about to offer his college pick of the year. Harry, let's hear it.
Well, first off, last week I did hit my Sharp Tank that paid plus 201, and I can take the 8 here with my college lock of the year. But I'm not even taking the 8. I'm going to take Tennessee.
Time out.
Money line.
I thought H-Dog was making this pick.
Hold on. Okay. Wait, Angie, what? He just pulled up in his limo, right? Okay.
What?
Well, you know what? Yeah, H-Dog's going to be, he's here, right? Okay.
Wow.
He's going to come in. Because this is my college lock of the year, He's been on tour and all a lot, you know. So, but yeah, he's here in town now, and he's got a little something to say after I give my explanation of why Tennessee at plus 240 is my lock of the year in college. I'm not even taking the eight. Look, Vegas is making this game plus eight. They're begging you to take the Vols. Normally, Sal, you know me, I would usually lean this way. I'd go the other way, but I've been on Tennessee all year, and I'm not buying what Vegas is trying to sell here. Hooker has been flawless. They're getting wide receiver Cedric Tillman back. Team is extremely balanced. They got 26 rushing touchdowns. They got 26 receiving touchdowns. Wide receiver Jalen Hyatt is putting up stats like Chase and Jefferson did at LSU with 900 yards, 14 touchdowns. Defensively, I love what they did last week against Will Levis and Kentucky. Gave up just 6 points. Mel Kiper today has Will Levis going in the top 10 in the draft next year. So holding him to 6 points is pretty big. Georgia's quarterback, Stetson Bennett, had his time in the sun, has just 9 touchdowns this year with 3 picks. And the Bulldogs passing game, not as good, not even close to as good as the Volunteers. Head coach Josh Heupel, Hendon Hooker, and the rest of the Vols get it done between the hedges in Athens, and they keep that number one ranking, and they win the game outright.
Wow. Whoa. All right, so what do we need H-Dog for? Is he still in the limo?
He just got out.
Boy, ask Angie. You can't see from here because you asked her first up. Yeah, so how are you supposed to?
She's bringing him in. So give me 1 second. Let me get him.
Okay.
All right. Good. Thank God. Thank God. Wow. Harry.
Can we just leave?
We should just wait for H-Dog.
Yeah. Let's just shut the Zoom off now. That'd be great. What a terrible actor. We should just leave our seats. We should be out of the room.
Until we finished up the pod. Sorry.
Yeah. Whoa!
Hey, what's up, guys?
What the?
Guys, what's up? It's been a while. I've been on tour. I've been all over the place. But when Harry told me that
this
is his
play
of the
year. You sound a little under the weather, H-Dog. You catch a cold on tour? What'd you do?
Yeah, back in the East Coast, it's really cold. Really cold on the East Coast. But I want to just add something to Harry's pick. Yeah, Harry. I want to add to his pick because if this is his play of the year.
Bring him in, because I'd like to see his reaction while you give the pick.
He's not feeling well. You know he's not feeling well.
Oh, that's true. Okay. All right.
I've come up with a little rap myself to really pump up the Vols here. You ready? Everyone ready? Okay.
Pump up the Vols. I like it.
Yeah. The Vols come in as number one. But as an 8-point dog, Vegas thinks Tennessee is done. Heupel, Hooker, Hyatt, and the rest of the team win between the hedges and continue their dream. The dogs, Bennett and Smart, got their ring. But by game's end, Rocky Top, we will sing. The Vols offense is better, that's a fact. Tennessee's Heisman and national championship hopes stay intact. My pal Harry already hit his NFL play of the year. And his reasoning on Tennessee is as smooth as a soliloquy by William Shakespeare. The Nashville Faithful and Peyton Manning know their team is a machine and get their first win in Athens since 2016.
Wow, H-Dog. That was great.
I'm really starting to think H-Dog is really a separate person because there's no way Harry could have written that. There's no way. No,
and the singing voice. I mean, I haven't heard singing like that. Where did you take singing lessons? Because the harmony with that rap. I don't know how you did it.
Done it all, Sal. Done it all.
Now, some people may say that, well, that's just a poem. He's not singing. But no. You're not watching this live. If you're watching this on Twitter or whatever, it's a different story.
Big fan of yours, Parlay Kid, too, by the way. Big fan of yours, Parlay Kid.
Wow.
Not so much you, Sal, but Parlay Kid.
Oh, damn. Sorry, H-Dog. All right.
H-Dog.
Babyface, you have anything to say about H-Dog and the singing and the rap and the fact that Harry, once again, is not in the same room as H-Dog?
What a moment. I mean, anytime H-Dog comes on the show, that's like when Kevin Durant joined the Warriors. Just incredible. I mean, Sal, you can't see me right now, but I'm giving H-Dog a standing ovation. I had to get up and get a pen, but that was incredible.
I thought you were going to say you were crying. All right.
No, H-Dog put that on his greatest hits. Unbelievable job. I mean, what do Heavy D, Fat Joe, Biggie Smalls, and H-Dog have in common?
300 plus pounds?
No. Don't answer. No, they're some of the best rappers of all time.
Right. That is delightful rapping.
Thank you, Joel. Big fan of yours, too, Joel.
You're the man, H-Dog.
I can't believe, though. I mean, wearing the same shirt as Harry has basically the same voice and cold and everything, but there is a difference. One
Harry
has
was, so Harry's, more, wearing, Harry's over there sitting down resting. He's wearing the Kool-Aid shirt, remember?
Okay. So much more talented than Harry. All right. Well, thank you, H-Dog. But now I guess Harry's not going to come back. We could sign off here, I guess, with you.
Yeah,
here.
We could sign off.
All right. Give him our best. Really, Mattress Mac and H-Dog all in the same week. I don't know how we put it
Tennessee
together.
Orange, baby.
Harry, I'm sorry, H-Dog's pick of the year. Well, now I'm confused because Harry gave the pick, but H-Dog came out and gave the rap. But anyway, the Tennessee Vols plus 240 right in there to win the game outright over Georgia in Athens. And that'll do it. I'm sorry, my mind is blown if I'm just having trouble getting through this. For Mikey Meatballs, for Babyface Joel Solomon, and the Degenerate Trifecta, I'm Sal saying so long and happy handicap.
And H-Dog.
Oh, an H-Dog, yes, sir. Na, 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 na